You are now listening to The Reality Is. The Reality Is.
No, I'm glad to. It's for minorities, but white people don't be scared. Asians, Hispanics, you want to come on the show, hit us up. I'll talk to anybody about everything.
These niggas is out here fucking these girls and putting it on Pornhub. At 8 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday with a heart on, she gets up and she turns on the church. I thought I'm going to get some head or something start today. Niggas is straight out here raw dicking and choking motherfuckers.
What are you doing?
If God has his hand on you, why you sitting?
That was pretty good, man. It just kind of came
out.
You
can't be squeamish when giving head. I mean, you got a dick in your mouth. Like, how much more gutter can you be?
Right, like. Yeah. Period, point blank, just what it is.
The reality is.
Have you ever cheated on somebody?
No.
I have.
We know.
I never wanted to cheat on anybody.
Shit happens, right?
I never did.
So if we have a little bit more, you know, people who have a little bit more can give a little bit of time to people who have a little bit less.
Yeah.
We can equalize the situation, and one day, you know, regardless of what the government does, we will have systems in place to take care of ourselves.
You are now listening to The Reality Is. The Reality Is.
We're waiting for you. What is it? What? Like, how does it? Why don't you come through? And we're waiting for you. It's hers and hers and his. Three's company, too. That sound like, the Wayans Brothers, too, like the jingle part of it.
Yeah.
It sounds like the Wayans Brothers. Well, what's up, man? It's episode 160. We back. This is Anthony Roberts, host of The Reality Is, where Phil Chim becomes extinct. Today's show is brought to you by Blog Talk Radio, your voice, your independence, your platform. So join us as we work to build a listener and podcaster-centric podcast ecosystem by going to www.blogtalkradio.com.
That was awesome.
It did go work. It did work. I'm trying to work on slowing myself down for the new year because I realize a lot of times I critique myself, and the one biggest critique I critique myself on is I speak too fast.
Yes, you do.
I think I talk too fast, and it's crazy because you have people being like, I remember back in the days they would call people city slickers, and they would be like, they're quick, you know, with
fast
the tongue.
Talkers.
But that was more so about like people who lived in California and people who lived in New York, coming from where I come from.
But you tell me to slow down all the time, so.
Yeah, but I know when I'm on a podcast, I be talking fast. And the reason I know.
Just trying to get it all out.
Well, there's two reasons how I know. I listen to it, and the other one is I'm always out of breath when I'm on a podcast.
Yeah.
And I'm not just like a fat person.
No, you're not. That's really weird.
But last announcement, or the last, what is this I'm reading?
It's a promo.
Oh, yeah, pretty much. All right. Also, this episode is brought to you by Take Action Apparel and Gear, the brainchild of actor Gabriel Silva, to stand up against bullying through fashion and accessories that let you be you. Visit and patronize them at www.takeactiongear.com and purchase something to support the cause.
I should have gave you props after that one.
Why you say that?
Because I feel like I interrupted you.
You fucked it up.
I said that was awesome because you did the first one.
Sometimes
so well.
I just try to stick, like, sometimes I really just be trying to plug different words in it to switch it
I
up.
I see.
But I do want to say shout out to Gabriel Silva and his mother, Tiffany Silva, man.
Yes.
We are coming to Houston.
We've been saying that for like the past, 5 months?
But it's been a monkey wrench.
But
anybody has followed the podcast, we've been everywhere as of late. And we're getting ready to leave Thursday for Chicago. To go do the second Martin Trivia Live event that we've been connected with through Republican Company. So we're excited to do that. They were able to get Cole Brown. What's his real name? Is Anthony Payne Moore? Or is it, what's his real
name?
Carl Anthony Payne. Yes. I just knew Anthony was somewhere in there. So they got Cole Brown off Martin. So he'll be hosting. The event is sponsored by Cavassier. So Chicago, I hope you guys are ready. If it's anything like it was here in Dallas,
yes,
it's going to be a good time.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a good time again
here
in Dallas.
I'm ready for the Chicago vibes anyway.
I am too. And it's going to be freezing fucking cold. I still need to try and figure out a way somehow to get me some Tim boots before then.
After my last trip, I'm prepared for the cold.
Well, I definitely need to get prepared for it. So basically what episode 160 is we're going to basically do an end of the year review, talk about some of the things that we loved most about the podcast, some of the things that we hated about the podcast this year, some of our personal experiences, things that we did to overcome hard times, or, you know, how we kind of felt like we were riding a wave. I definitely felt like we rode a wave throughout I would say probably from
September, October.
Nah, the wave really started in June. Yeah, like, that's true. I think we rolled away from June all the way into the end of coming up December and rolling into the new year, and we picked up the momentum, and the momentum, like as Pops would say, the momentum. No, I'm doing this on purpose. Anybody follow John Witherspoon?
I know.
They know what he used to say, momentum. I mean, you know, you pick up that momentum and you just gotta ride that wave. So I think that's what we did this year. I know one of the highs for me, and I know you have your own list, but one of the highs this year for me was interviewing Dominique Perry of Insecure. Mm-hmm. For those who don't know Tasha, you know, everybody was Team Tasha, Team Lawrence, yeah. Team Issa. And the reason I think that was one of the highlights is, first of all, that was one of our, I would say, first connecting or successful interview setups for a famous person or semi-famous.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we did the Saul Williams thing. We talked about how that fell through. We've reached out to several other people. We haven't. Not this year. Yeah. I mean, maybe we have. That's why I said I tried to get some of these things together.
I think hers was most impactful because she was so laid back. And it felt like it was all genuine. It wasn't scripted. Sure. It wasn't like, it was just like we were talking to somebody from the next door.
And I was nervous as fuck.
Yeah.
I was nervous because it was the first interview that I have done with someone of her caliber. Mm-hmm. I've done, and if people know the podcast, if they listen to the podcast, then they know one thing that I try to do is I try to keep everything straight up and straight down. And what that means is I try to stay the same with everybody. Like mm-hmm. anybody from Dallas who comes in on the podcast or anywhere else we've interviewed people from, I try to be the same person. You know, I don't try to level up or do something different just because we have a famous person that comes into the studio or a famous person is calling in. Because we actually got a couple of people that we're working on for the new year. Some of them are already solidified. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to kick January off with a bang. But Dominique Perry for me was amazing. And then, not to be funny, I wouldn't have got Dominique Perry without you. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's straight up. And I think you're the one who reached out to her, because sometimes I get in my own way to where I know people view me from afar and view our podcast and say, they got this shit all together. Mm-hmm. And it's like, in reality, like, the reality is like, they don't really understand how hard and how much work we actually put into this. And they don't understand how many no's we actually get before we actually get a yeah. Mm-hmm. So, but without even getting too much into it, you hit me up the other day and you were telling me about us getting an email from some, what was it?
The PR firm that reached out to me, but it was good, and I reacted the way I did because I have been working with someone else, and I usually send out these emails, and typically when they contact me, they're contacting me for that person.
Very true.
But this time around, they contacted me for you. And I was like, oh my God, because normally I have to kind of plug it and be like, hey, well, I also represent this podcast, and this is what they do, and I feel like I'm just always selling, but this time they came knocking at the door.
And when you tell me these things, I know a lot of times you be like, you don't even sound excited. Mm-hmm. And it's not that I'm not excited. But one thing that I do believe in, and one thing that Saul Williams taught me, is nigga, don't get excited until it actually comes through.
Exactly. Always the case, but I think you should still relish in the moments that lead up to it.
I'm learning. Shout out to the homie Jakeem Gregory, the host of the Tenderoni podcast is coming out.
The two new podcasts under Roberts Media Group. Yeah,
he's pretty much simultaneously handling both of those.
Yes.
So that's Thrive 365, which is more about business and entrepreneurship and mm-hmm. people telling their stories about how they got to where they are. I'll be on his podcast here within the next month. And thanks to Jakeem for allowing me to be on the podcast. Also, he has the Tenderoni podcast, which is a great one.
I love that.
Yeah, because the concept of it is he's going to be talking about podcasting from a dating app perspective. Mm-hmm. Like, only he's really going to talk. He's going to talk to people about relationships, period. But he's really, really focusing on people who are using dating apps.
And that's pretty much everybody.
Everybody. So he's going to talk about the ups and downs of using dating apps. Why do people get on dating apps? Because mm-hmm. everybody's reasoning for getting on a dating app is different.
Yeah.
And it's so crazy because even if you think about 10 years ago, and this is even for myself, when you used to people talk about getting on dating apps and having relationships through dating apps, we laughed at them. Mm-hmm. We called them desperate.
Yeah.
But somebody saw they were forward thinking. It's the normal. Mm-hmm. If you ain't on a dating app, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And I'm still old fashioned because I'd rather meet in a bar or at, you know, if you approach me the right way in Walmart or mm-hmm. any other public entity, I'm okay with that. Mm-hmm. It's just about how you do it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's my whole thing. Also, going into the new year, while we talking about interviewing and you setting up podcasts and shit, we ain't doing shit for free next year.
Oh, no, I've been not doing shit for free.
I'm not
doing the only person I do shit for free for is you.
And you probably shouldn't say that on the podcast. Maybe we'll bleep that out at the 8.
But it's not really for free. Because no, it's not. It's more like a barter system.
It's a barter system. Yeah. That is very true. So I came to the conclusion I'm not doing anything else for free.
I'm so glad.
When it comes to consulting podcasts, because one thing I did this year across 7 states, in a lot of different cities here in Texas and a lot of different people here in Dallas, mm-hmm. I gave out a lot of advice.
Yeah.
I don't mind giving out the advice, but at the rapid pace that it started to come in,
mm-hmm.
I felt like, you know what? This is a consulting service, which Roberts Media Group will be having one of those. So mm-hmm. they will have a package.
That's the purpose of
us doing the business, yes. and having Roberts Media Group. So next year, nothing will be free, from audio visualizers to logos, to print, to editing your podcast, all the things that I've been doing for other people this year. There will be a fee.
So isn't it great to see how you've basically grown into your brand? Because when we first sat down and discussed what you wanted to do, and I suggested that you start with the umbrella company, mm-hmm. and then put The Reality Is under that.
Yeah.
And you were kind of like, oh, well, I just want to do the podcast. But seeing how you've actually grown into your brand and to watch it expand even more.
Well, some people got to. There are people, I feel like, who there are people like myself who have the gift of gab,
mm-hmm.
and they have a gift of talent. But that's why mentorship, friendship, and people who really genuinely care about what you're doing and
mm-hmm.
that can see the vision of you,
mm-hmm.
that's why it's good to have those other people. Because what people don't understand, which all people should understand, is because we all go through this same thing, is we all have up days and down days.
Mm-hmm.
Even like me and you talk about it all the time. So many people see me and figure he has it all together.
Oh, yeah. Me too.
And I don't. But one thing I have realized over the last couple of years is I am becoming the start to be. I am, or I have become, one of the oldest people in most of the rooms that I'm entering.
Mm-hmm.
Podcasting is an old man and a young man's game.
And people can hardly believe it.
Believe what?
How old you are.
Yeah, that is true.
It's always a shock.
Yeah. And when I shave my beard off, it's worse. Like, yeah, if you look at the Instagram. 15. Yeah, if you look at the Instagram videos, I look a lot younger. The gray hairs aren't just everywhere, and I don't look so rugged, but I do miss that because I hate having a baby face because I have a round head. They sound
and chubby cheek.
Yeah, and chubby cheek. Look at you. I'm from the Igbo tribe in Nigeria. Iba! Deuce! Give me my spit so I can kill some fish. But nah, for real, man. So another big thing we had out that was great this year is selling out the Martin Trivia live event.
Man.
Here in Dallas. That's why
we both underestimated that.
We did.
We really did.
And the thing about it is I've always wanted to put events together, and we've been putting events together for about 5 years now.
Yeah.
But we never wanted to go to we never wanted it to be huge. Excuse me, guys. We're sitting in the living room. The patio is open. As I always say, respect the authenticity of the podcast. You might hear some horns blowing. You may hear some Mexicans cutting grass. You may hear anything.
Wait a minute now.
Black people cut grass,
Thank
too.
Thank you.
I'm not being offensive, but, I mean, let's be honest. You know what I'm saying?
No, I know. I just said that.
That's what the reality is about. If you hear about a stabbing in the news,
mm-hmm.
what you think? Mexican. If you hear about, if somebody call you and say, hey, man, somebody almost ran me off the road, you're going to say what? Hispanic. True.
Yeah.
You ate great Mexican food. Was it an authentic Mexican place?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I just heard this great mariachi music.
Mm-hmm.
It's Mexican. You know, if you hear black and you be like, girl, her. It's possibly a black person. I'm just saying, we gotta do a Dave Chappelle type mood, and when we tackle and talk about people, we gotta address every race.
Of course.
Every race knows this, especially in the black race.
Mm-hmm.
We know if somebody mentions certain things to us, first thing we sometimes say is they white or black.
Yeah.
Somebody came in and shot up a school.
They white.
Okay. Somebody robbed a liquor store.
They black.
All right then. You know what I'm saying? So it's no disrespect. There's no racism. I love a good race joke.
Yeah, no, but I was just giving you a hard time.
Yeah, but you know, because some people will feel mm-hmm. that way. And it's like, you know, if you're a Mexican and you took that offense, you know what I'm saying? I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry. Black people, if you feel, you know, go
love
fuck
you
yourself.
Just the same.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I love you all the same, but all of us have quirks and fuck ups.
Lord knows, I don't know what I do without my Mexican grass cutter.
You know what I'm saying? And the streets wouldn't be getting built if it wasn't for Mexicans. Let's just be real. You know what I'm saying? So it is what it is. But selling out the Martin Trivia was a big thing for me. I was nervous. You came through it. I think this first part is all about you because you came through again.
Mm-hmm.
You decided to think bigger than Bar Louie.
I stay coming through in a clutch.
You do. And I'm so glad. I'm about to buy you a dildo or a strap on because so you can ride your own dick. You don't have a dick. But the point of the matter is, it's like you really... I think something you did stepping into yourself in the new year.
Oh, yeah.
And I think selling out the Martin Trivia almost was kind of like a, a push, mm-hmm. because you were already getting to that point, and me being your friend and being a significant other, like, I knew these things, I saw mm-hmm. these things. So it's like, to see that and see you push through and come through, and some of these events cause you to step out of the background, mm-hmm. which is like where you like to stay.
Yeah.
So the Martin Trivia event for me, it was just, I was nervous about it. When you brought the idea to me about the House of Blues, I was like, how are we going to do this? I was nervous about selling tickets. Mm-hmm. I was nervous so you're much nervous so sometimes. About everything. I really
and
am.
Normally you're the one that's not nervous. So that was a big deal.
But Martin Trivia, I mean, in what way did it help you step out of the background? Because I feel like you stepped out of the background more this time.
Yeah, for me, more so in this aspect, it was about the business part of it. Because I've said this many times before, I've been doing this little side business since 2008.
Yeah.
But really making a decision to be more intentional with it this year and to just take more risk. So once we... I guess Barlui fell through.
Yeah.
I didn't have a choice. I knew I didn't want to. I mean, I wasn't gonna let the event fail.
Yeah,
that was not an option. Yeah.
Now let's say Martin. Now, you know, just in case Barlui listens to this podcast, because the woman seemingly,
she did come back. Yeah, I know they be trying to make it right.
Yeah, they did give us some gift cards over $100, a couple of them. Mm-hmm. So you know, we have been eating on
them. And she even said herself, when she contacted me, because I did a review of them on the blog and on Yelp, and so she reached out to me and she was like, honestly, I really apologize to you because we have 7 locations and none of our locations can afford to turn down that kind of business.
They weren't even getting them numbers.
And even when we went there after we got the gift card, I think we went there on one Sunday just to catch a game or something. Mm-hmm. It was dead as fuck.
You showed me 2 other motherfuckers in the city of Dallas that are just normal up and coming people that can sell out and have a waiting list over 3,500
people. And
not to
be funny, have people fall behind you and try to step into your shoes.
Yeah. And flying, people flew in to see this shit, drove down to see this shit. And some people may be like, oh, y'all were promoting Martin, but what is the execution of it? We were promoting
three different
brands. It's been people that are bigger than us, and even Jason and them said they have been doing this before for years, and they never had a turnout like we did. What's going on in Chicago is because we stepped up and we did some things. So sometimes you got to ride your own dick because people don't understand. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And shout out to Jason and them for not stepping on our toes and letting us do our thing.
Yeah.
You know, they gave us an opportunity to shine, and like always, we came in with a 10-inch dick, and you know, we gave them the business with lubrication.
Yes, I definitely lived proverbially through my 10-inch dick this year.
Hey, ain't nothing wrong with that. You know what? That may be the name of the podcast. Year in Review, 10-inch dick style. Straight knocking down the damn dough. Straight up. Now, one thing I want to say, we're going to skip over the things that we've done great this year. We're going to talk about some of our number one listening countries and states. I want to say, first of all, of course, it's the United States. We're from the United States. Mm-hmm. So it's more so about the second in mm-hmm. place, because we, of course, you expect Dallas to listen, you expect Texas to listen, you expect people in the United States to listen. But when people from the UK start listening, UK mm-hmm. came in second. We had Ireland in a strong third. So mm-hmm. we appreciate you guys in the UK and in Ireland listening to the podcast. Texas, of course, thank you to home team that kept us afloat. But North Carolina, DC area came in a close third. We also had places like Michigan, mm-hmm. Illinois, Miami, well, not Miami, but, you know, the state of Florida. Chipping in and listening in, man. So we appreciate that. The podcast increased by 92% in listenership this year.
That's amazing.
So, I mean, I tell people all the time, without the listeners, you know, we don't have shit. And it's so funny because I am a transparent person. So I know one guy hit me up when I put the numbers out a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And he was like, how do you know the analytics of your podcast? And
I was like,
and I was like, the platform that we're under, they show us everything. It's not my motherfucking job to post what we do, because mm-hmm. that's personal business. Mm-hmm. But I don't mind talking about it. And I don't mind telling you the systems that are being used to let you know this shit is no lie.
And that's a big deal, because thinking about where we transitioned from in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And not really knowing or being able to gauge exactly what
we were doing. And being in a boat, like when we were at Fishbowl, it was like 5 podcasts in there. So what they would do, they would come to us and just say, hey, well, it was 35,000 listeners this week.
Divided
by 5. And it's like, you telling me that the Tribe of Judah and all these other podcasts is in this same bowl as us, mm-hmm. is doing as good as us when we were nominated the first year? Mm-hmm. We didn't get family and friends to vote for us.
Yeah.
We were nominated the first year for best podcast at Fishbowl Radio Network. So, but you know, if you really love what you're doing, it ain't even about the accolades.
No.
It's literally about the shit that you do.
But it is nice to be able to look at it and know for sure
that people appreciate
the
work
you do.
The kind of
results that you're bringing in.
Of course, of course. So we had a 92% increase in listenership. We completed 78 episodes this year. How many weeks is it in a year?
52.
All right. So we definitely doubled up pretty much every week.
Yeah.
Damn near. throughout half the year to get 78 episodes out. We had 27 guest appearances, so I want to thank you to all the guests who were famous, not famous, regular people, good people, bad people. We appreciate those 27 guest appearances for coming on the podcast. It's real. Episode 133 was the highest listened to episode. I think that was your sexual utility belt, so I'll just say good sex talk sales.
Yeah.
So one thing, and it's so crazy because I was like, it was higher than Dominique Perry. It was higher than a lot of other podcasts.
That was a good episode.
Yeah. So the sexual utility belt, that was, like I said, if you want to listen to it, you can make it higher or add more numbers to it, add more listens to it. Episode 133, what's on your sexual utility belt? That's the one who had the top of the year. You said it. In September, we started traveling more.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you this. I was telling Jason the other day, I said, my nigga, all love and respect to you.
Because
we had all our flights mapped out for the year.
Yeah, we did.
And then we
added three or four more
within the last 2 months of the year. And I'll just say,
and the last 2 months of the year being my busiest 2 months of the year.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I have kids' birthdays, holidays.
All your shit in the back.
All of it.
On the back end. Heavy.
Yes, soggy, real strong.
Soggy pamper heavy. So it's real strong. But no,
we did that because it was worth it.
It was much needed. I didn't want to do it at first because I know we were talking. And I was like, financially, I'm not able to really just do everything I want to do. And that's where you came in and you helped out with those things. And like I said, I've always given you a shout out for helping keeping the podcast going when people have left, when people have come, when nobody's been consistent. You know, like I always tell you, I appreciate you for being consistent. But with the traveling, what we benefited from traveling because of the connection we were able to do, the networking that happened, the exposure that we were able to get, and then we learned a lot of shit.
Yeah,
you know, shooting that pilot in New York with Jason and them, for them to shop that shit around, being on set all day, that shit was amazing. Meeting some of the new people that we met in New York, you know, other radio personalities, other radio hosts that do what they do in New York, DJ Miss Milan, sex expert Michelle Hope, like meeting all these people who have a big social media presence and a big presence and influence in New York.
Just are passionate about what they do, period.
I think that's,
and they were real genuine. That's
amazing.
Because a lot of people, some people have large followings, but when you meet them, it's like they're totally not what you expect to get.
Yeah.
But that was the difference.
And I think that's where I want to move into in the new year, is like building more influential and intentional relationships for the second half of the year is what we did. I literally want to take that shit into the new year.
Yeah. That was one of my main goals for 2017, period, is being more intentional and personally fostering more of my female friendships. So I'm glad that I was able to do that this year.
So why has it been harder for you? Always talk about fostering friendships, and I've always talked to you about, I think you need more female friends, because I think a lot of times, as whether you're dating, whether you're single, whatever, I think it's important to be able to gauge the range of how much you hang out with friends and family.
Oh yeah, definitely. But I'm not the type to be like, oh, I want to be up under my significant other all the time, so let's just get that straight. But as far as friendships are concerned, I've always connected more with guys or gay guys. So for me, I really lacked in the female friendship area, because a lot of times there's like a lot of jealousy, and I'm real laid back. I'm more so like the girl next door, so it's difficult for me to find friends that I actually mesh with. Some girls are messy, they're kind of filled with drama. It's hard to describe, but I was able to reconnect or focus more on reconnecting with some friends that I've had for quite some time, but just being able to spend more time with them and being more intentional about returning phone calls, hanging out, you know, hanging out with the kids, because I think that's a lot of times what it is. Sometimes when I go out, I'm an only child.
Yeah.
So when I go out, I don't really want to go out with kids.
No.
So a lot of times they would invite me to stuff.
Shout out to Frank.
Shout out to Frank.
You got to tell this fucking story. Frank, y'all heard me talk about this nigga. It's two people. It's Frank, as in Frank Minicon. Shout out to homie Black Ghost.
Yes.
BLK underscore GHST 75 on Instagram. The nigga's a fool. Tell this story about the fucking kids, man.
The one, okay.
We had a Christmas party last week,
and Frank was coming. And I was like, where is Frank?
Where is this
nigga? Next thing I know, it was Frank, his wife, and the kids in tow. So I think I said to you, now, this is not to be funny, because I love Frank's kids. They're very well-mannered. It's not a problem at all.
Yeah.
But the first thing I said to you when I saw him, I was like, what the kids doing here?
What the kids doing here? What the kids doing here, Frank? You come in my motherfucking place. You got your fucking shoes on, nigga. And then you come in here with your motherfucker. I love them kids, man. Them beautiful chocolate drop motherfuckers.
Yes. We were playing music. And so instantly, my mind shifted into mommy mode. So I was like, do I need to change the music? Mm-hmm. Like, it's just so many different things you have to think about when kids enter the room.
Yeah, it's true.
So that's what I mean when I say when I go out, I don't really want to go out with kids.
Yeah.
So a lot of times my friends were inviting me to things. But because their situation is different, I'm blessed. I have an awesome co-parent. Yep. So I'm able to have a little bit more freedom and flexibility. Let's
talk about
that.
I do got to give a little shout out, man. You know, I don't know if we're going to talk about anything else further, and I know you know what I'm talking about later on.
Yeah.
But I do want to say this, man.
That's totally up to you.
Your ex-husband mm-hmm. and your...
My children's father.
Your children's father, because you don't like the term baby daddy.
No, I don't.
Now, why don't you like the term baby daddy?
I cannot stand that. We don't do baby daddy, baby mama, because to me, that's a little bit degrading. Because every time you hear those words used, they're used in a negative sense.
Connotation, yes.
Yeah, so I don't like that. And then I get offended personally when someone says, oh, I know you're a single mom. And I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm a co-parent.
Because
we have a very strong co-parenting relationship. And it works. We have a great dynamic. So for me, I have a little bit more freedom, flexibility. And that's what I was saying, going back to they aren't that fortunate. So a lot of times they have to plan things with their kids involved.
In advance.
Yes.
But I think the thing that I've watched from you and your ex-husband, mm-hmm. when you work with the kids, for one, it's respect there still.
Mm-hmm.
Two, it's respect there still.
Mm-hmm.
Three, it's respect there still.
Always.
And if you don't have respect for your significant other, first of all, shame on you. Maybe you picked a shitty person. And I think a lot of times when relationships end or marriages end, people think, you hate him or you hate her or what did they do wrong or what's what. And it's mm-hmm. like, nah, that's not always how that situation has to end. But personally, I want to give a shout out to the homie because he is good with his kids.
Mm-hmm.
He's always good to you.
Mm-hmm.
And he's respected it. He could have been somebody who's like, hey, man, this nigga's fucking with my ex-wife. You know, he could be on some future shit.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like he's never done that with the kids and things. And like I say, I feel like we should always pay homage and respect to the people who are doing things the right way.
Mm-hmm.
We both watched The Chi for the first time. The new episode is coming out on Showtime with Cumming and all of them. And the dude said one thing. He was talking about his brother who died a virgin at 16.
Mm-hmm.
And he laughed a little bit. He's like, he would kill me if I told you, you know, knowing that I told you guys he was a virgin. And they kind of laughed. And he was like, but the funny thing about it is in 2017, we're laughing at 16-year-old virgins
mm-hmm.
when that's a good thing.
Because that's not the norm.
You know what I'm saying? So what I said all that to say this, a lot of times it's normal. We made it normal mm-hmm. and see it as normalcy to be mad at the baby father, for niggas to be at each other's throats, and it's stupid ass cornball niggas who be like, Future got a right to be mad at Russell Wilson. No, motherfucker, he's taking care of your ex that you
like
didn't fucking
own.
Take care of, and he's taking care of the fucking kid
mm-hmm.
because the kid has nothing to do with what the mother and the father had to do.
Exactly.
So, like I say, man, respect to that. And we're gonna take a quick break. I need to get some motherfucking coffee. You know, I got my coffee late today, so I need to get me, you know, I need to dive in on the second cup because I don't believe in drinking old coffee. I'm anal like that. Again, you listen to The Reality Is Where Filter Becomes Extinct with myself, Anthony Roberts, and
RTZS Lundy.
All right, Bongo, back. By the
way. No, you don't want to be by yourself. Got who you want around. I know I'm not that nigga that you're just playing for now. You used to be my Juliet, and I was Romeo. Where was you when the strangers at the table wishing it was you? Let me tell you that. Oh, baby, give me one more chance to get my shit together.
All right, man, before we even get started back and continuing the podcast, I do want to say shout out to Comeback Jack. And the Comeback Jack Show.
Yes, our condolences to his family.
Man.
Yeah.
Man.
He's like 48.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man.
It's tough.
I said it on Instagram. He was one of my first podcasts that I listened to. The reason I liked it is because, not to be funny, we have similar show. Well, he's more, to me, I feel like Naj is more like him as far as the podcasting.
Yeah.
If I had to relate somebody to him, but I feel like the only thing I took from him is like more conversational style interviews.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's so important to have conversational style interviews. I hear so many podcasts where it's kind of like, so what would you tell your 18-year-old self now? And you're like, come on, bro.
Yeah.
Like, you just got to be able to just come into this thing and do what it is that you do and keep it moving.
Mm-hmm.
So around this year, last year, I was stuck in the house.
This time last year.
What did I say?
You said around this year, last year.
I thought I said around this time last year. No, maybe you're right.
You but know. Since we're giving out condolences, I would like to give condolences to the family of Catfish Floyd. We talked about him on a couple of episodes at the Catfish Trap House.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he passed away yesterday or day before yesterday.
How old was he?
He was up there. So it's not like a Combat Jack type situation.
It's a local hero.
Yeah.
He's a hood hero.
Yeah, Fish. I think today I'm going to go have an order of strips in his honor. If they're open, of course.
If they open, you're going to be sitting in that fucking line till Christmas.
It's okay.
So, but yeah, man, condolences out to...
Mr. Bean.
That's his name?
Floyd Bean.
Floyd Bean. Catfish Floyd's, man. Everybody in South Dallas, go get you a fish plate or catfish strip basket.
Yeah.
It ain't going to be on the house. And hopefully you have at least a one-hour long playlist. And go get you some fish, man. But for real, about this time last year, man, I didn't leave the house. I think it happened a week after Thanksgiving. I guess you could say I was stricken.
Yeah,
that sounds so harsh.
I mean, it came out harsh.
Yeah, it did. I was stricken with Bell's palsy to where the left side of my face, I had facial paralysis. Mm-hmm. With you, my mom, and my aunt pretty much persuading me to go to the emergency room within the first 24 hours is what pretty much saved my face, to be honest with you. Yeah. My left eye is still a little puffy. Depending on the cold weather, it still, you know, it still gives me issues sometimes. Marijuana is a hell of a drug. You know, I could be saying crack cocaine is a hell of a drug. Like, what's the dude name? What the fuck is his name? Super Freak.
Yeah.
She's a Super Freak. Who sings Super Freak? Come on, man.
Shit.
Super Freak. Rick James.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say.
Rick James. You know, Rick James, I always be like, cocaine is a hell of a drug. So marijuana is a hell of a drug. It's one of the drugs that helped me bounce back.
Yeah.
And for those who feel like marijuana is a true drug, if you are popping pills, if you are doing any kind of other drug, RX scripts, that's a drug.
I mean, shit, I drink.
Yeah, to take care of whatever it is that you need to be taken care of. But the reason my Bell's palsy bounced back was so important to me because last year around this time, I'm going to be honest with you, you was around me. Mm-hmm. I was depressed.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like I felt like the most ugliest motherfucker. It showed me how vain I was.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But it's so crazy because yours wasn't even nearly as bad as some of the other people. Because I think you did like a blog post at some point and you did, or Instagram post and you had hashtag Bell's Palsy.
Bell's Palsy.
So many people started to reach out to you. And when you clicked that hashtag, you started to see like how intense it was.
And no bullshit. Like when I clicked on that hashtag, like not to be funny, immediately, I didn't feel alone.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like.
And that's also the power of social media.
It is true.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times we give social media a bad rap, but there are positives of social media. And being able to directly reach out and see other people's stories, mm-hmm. and then having a good friend that I've met through social media that lives in Denmark, mm-hmm. that's been struggling with Bell's palsy for 3 years is not going anywhere.
Yeah.
She's still getting therapeutic assistance and just trying to rehab,
mm-hmm.
to get her smile back.
Yeah.
And I think that was one of the hardest things is because when I went through this whole Bell's palsy situation, I literally felt like my smile was stolen. And mm-hmm. I wrote an article about it because I literally would try to smile and I stopped smiling because of the embarrassment.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I would look in the mirror, I was just like, this is not my face.
Yeah.
And people would come over and knock on the door and they would try to get me to come out and I wouldn't even answer the fucking door.
Mm-hmm.
When you first found out about it, you were here with me, but when you left, I felt like it started to really set in.
Yeah.
Like rigor mortis.
Can I tell the story about the first time that I left? Because I left to go get your medicine.
I don't really know what happened, but I'm okay with anything.
Okay, so when I left to go get your medicine, and when I came back, just in that short span of time, I came back and you were like crying.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried to like bring you in and you were like, no, you kept turning away from me
because
you
about.
Was
yeah.
like, you didn't want me to see you. And
yeah,
I was just like,
I felt like
what
two-faced.
Are you talking about?
I felt like two-faced.
Like I understood it, but I'm like, I've been here. Like I saw it when it first happened.
Yeah.
I'm still going to be here. That doesn't change anything for me.
And then it was like with me crying, like I, you know, when you cry, you got that ugly cry. Oh, this shit was like super
But that was the
ugly.
First, I think that
this
was like one of the first times or the few times that I've seen you be that emotional.
Yeah.
So I knew it was like taking a toll on you. But.
Yeah, it was a tough thing. And I'm going to talk about the time I cried in D.C. because this is the year in review. And I think it's time to be intentional and move past it because this year I'm definitely moving on from everybody I don't fuck with, no matter who they are. So. When you did that, first of all, I appreciate it. And if you notice, it's like I wanted to, but then I pushed you away because I was like, I don't like feeling weak. And I don't correlate crying with being weak, but sometimes I do.
Yes.
Sometimes, it depends on the scenario.
You'd be like, why the fuck are you crying?
Because you cry about everything.
And I'm like, why don't you just, no, I don't. No, I don't.
When it comes to us, you do.
When it comes to us, because it's a, you got to understand, for one, I'm a very laid back person. So if I do cry, it's some built up stuff.
Okay.
And then for two, it's like, it's enough pressure in the situation with everything that, you know, goes on and outside
we'll
of us.
We'll talk about pressure on our relationship.
And so when I come to you and I'm being emotional with you, like that's me giving myself to you. I'm being vulnerable in that moment. Mm-hmm. So for you to be like, what the fuck are you crying for? And then you make me feel like, because I'm not a crier. I'm silent, but I'm very strong. Mm-hmm. So for you to make me feel like that, it's like,
oh, I hate fucking crying. And I know, shout out to Nundy, the homie with King Naj in DC.
I love her because she said, I couldn't have said it better. She said, sometimes I just cry because it's a release, and you do feel so much better once you get that shit out. She was like, I was in my car and I cried.
That's what I was going to say. She's like, I cry at least once a week. And I was like, what? What kind of torrential downpour do you have inside of you locked
away?
But
that's not what it means.
No, I know that. But for me, like that time you tried to hug me, it was more so just about feeling ugly, mm-hmm. feeling unwanted by myself. Mm-hmm. Like I hadn't accepted what was happening to me.
Exactly.
So when I accepted it was when I did the other videos and I started mm-hmm. taking pictures of my eye and mm-hmm. and the progress and what was going on. But it takes some accepting. Sometimes mm-hmm. we got to accept the shit we're
in. For yourself
first. And accept yourself for who you are, your mistakes and mm-hmm. the good things. And when I started to accept those things, I was like, okay. Then I would go out sometimes and people would be like, I can't even tell. If you didn't tell me,
exactly.
I want to notice. Now, the one time I'm no longer friends with this person, but the friendship ended before then. Mm-hmm. But I never forget you and mom through me.
And that's what I was going to say because essentially the Christmas party that we had last weekend was the 1 year because it was literally the same weekend because I did the graduation party for you the year before.
Yeah.
And you didn't want to do it, but I was like, there's no way you've been in school all this time. Yeah. You're going to graduate.
Whoa. It wasn't a whole bunch of time.
No, now, what I'm saying is.
Let me clarify this. I am 35 years old. Yes, I graduated at 34, but I started college in this career path at 30.
Yeah, you switched your major.
Yeah.
So that's what I mean when I say.
Started back in my 20s. I did 2 years. I didn't know what the fuck I wanted to do. I dropped out of college for about 6 years. I came back at 30, and like every other 4 year degree type nigga, I finished in 4 years.
I just don't want you
to be like I'm a 6 year. I was a 3 year senior.
That's not what it was.
I took care of my goddamn business.
That's not what I'm saying.
I'm no cluck.
But for the people out there, I'm glad you gave that explanation.
Thank you.
All I was saying was I know that it had been some time. You were going to school for teaching at mm-hmm. first. You switched your major. So it seemed like it was an extended period of time.
Yeah.
So you graduated, mm-hmm. but you refused to walk.
Yeah, I don't
so
walk.
We couldn't,
I didn't walk.
We couldn't celebrate you in that way.
If I do my master's, I will walk, mama. If I do my master's.
Awesome.
I'm not doing a PhD.
Okay. So we couldn't celebrate you in that way. So I was like, well, the least we can do is have this party. Lo and behold, the Bell's palsy hit.
Yeah. Because it was a cold night. It was December.
Yeah.
I don't think I had been smoking really at that time.
No, you hadn't.
I picked it up like a week after.
Yeah, you did.
And it was crazy because it was a friend I hadn't seen in a while. And when she came in, now mind you.
That was so tacky.
Like, mind you, I literally was depressed still. It was mm-hmm. my first time really still being out around people. I finally came out. Everybody's congratulating me on the podcast. Everybody congratulated me on the podcast, congratulating me on graduating college. Because at that time, I was doing college. I had just started my business. I was working a job. I was mm-hmm. doing a whole bunch of shit.
Yeah.
And that's where Bell's palsy came home. So
came
people
from.
Relax. When you think shit ain't going well, relax.
And even if
because Bell's palsy comes from stress.
Yeah. And don't internalize it. That's
please
the thing.
Don't cry.
Because you have that whole ego thing.
Yes. My ego is, I still have an ego, but it's definitely a little bit more subdued.
You got it.
And I have control over it. Yeah. And I'm not as vain. Like I just told you yesterday, I was like, I put on a few extra pounds over the last year and I was like, I'm okay with it. Now I'm working to get it off now.
Of course.
But
you
I was
are,
like, I felt good. And then people who see me, they be like, bro, you don't even, ain't nothing wrong with you. But for me, I felt like, you know what? I need to just really accept myself. And mm-hmm. Bell's palsy knocked me on my ass.
Yeah.
And not only did Bell's palsy knock me on my ass, a lot of other shit started to happen mm-hmm. while I was going through that process where I kept getting sick. But anyway.
Well, let's go back to the tacky friend.
So my friend came in, the friend at the time, they came in, they hadn't seen me in like the whole time I was going through this Bell's palsy issue, they hadn't seen me, they hadn't called and checked on me. And when she came in, the first thing she said was, ugh, what's wrong with your face?
Yeah, that and it shit, was like dead quiet in the place.
It really was.
Because she walked in.
Yeah, and she's a tall person.
She's a tall person.
She's taller than pretty much everybody in any room she walks in.
Yeah.
So when she said that, everybody kind of directed their attention on me, and it was literally like on a TV show, like that awkward silence.
Yeah, and I was so pissed.
And I'm talking like 50 Cent, so I had to talk out the side of my mouth, and I was like, well, you know, I got Bell's palsy.
Yeah.
And she was like, huh? I was like, I got Bell's palsy.
And she didn't
even
like stop to acknowledge that. She was just like, oh,
and she
okay.
gave me a hug and she kept moving.
Yeah.
So I was like, damn, this bitch. In my mind, I was thinking, this bitch tacky
as fuck.
Two left shoes with no soul. So needless to say, we ain't cool no more. Not just because of that, because she just became a shitty friend altogether. So in the next year, be more intentional about your friendships. Make mm-hmm. sure you have people around you who you care about and care about you. And you one thing that I learned this with. Year, family isn't always given a title based on the blood. Mm-mm. You know? So that's something that you got to learn. One of the things I said, another thing I learned this year was not to be funny. Keep working on everything that you want. Any vision that you have, even when it gets tired and you get tired, mm-hmm. keep working on that motherfucking vision, because as you can see, anybody who follows the podcast, big things did happen for The Reality Is and Roberts Media Group mm-hmm. and Artesia. And
more to come.
Yeah, and there's more to come. And I want to give a shout out to Jakeen, and I want to give a shout out to Drina. And I want to give a shout out to everybody else who's ever spoken to me. You and mom are giving.
I know, we just excluded yeah,
y'all
by default.
Y'all bookends, because y'all already do the shit. But everybody else who's reached out to me and said, hey, quit doubting yourself. You are a major talent. You need to get you a talent agent. You mm-hmm. need to get you an agent to book stuff for you. The way you move, the way you talk, the way you able to do interviews and converse with people and tell your truths. Mm-hmm. Like, not to be funny, this is a time to ride my own dick. Mm-hmm. I do feel like I'm great at what I do. Mm-hmm. I have my off days. Every episode is probably not perfect. But when I do go back and I compare the body of work that I have, and then I listen to other podcasts, some that are famous, some that are not, I literally feel like I fall above the half mark. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
I definitely don't feel like I'm in the bottom half. I'm not top tier, but I'm coming. Mm-hmm. And only thing that I feel like is missing for me personally, excuse me, with the top tier, to help me get top tier, is consistent quality mm-hmm. and getting more guests that are above the playing field that I'm in. Mm-hmm. And that will come with recognition, which it has continued to come, and networking, and a lot more of that is coming.
Yeah.
And I look forward to that. So shout out to those people who always keep me going. Well, I mean, did you learn anything?
Of course I learned things. Jesus Christ. Did you learn? Yes, I did. I think the biggest takeaway for me this year, which is one of the things that I went into the year wanting to focus on, was coming out of the shadows yeah. and really stepping into my own and all of the great abilities that I have and things that I've often found myself sitting on the sidelines wanting to do, but not really wanting to put myself out there like yeah. that. So this year was an awesome year for me. I'm putting it down in my books as one of the most successful years in terms of, like I said earlier, fostering my female friendships, really focusing on building my tribe.
Tribe,
yeah,
called Quest.
Building my tribe, and not just limiting it to my gay best friends or my guy best friends, mm-hmm. and just being able to talk to people that I really feel like can understand the things that I'm going through. One of the things that I focused on this year was going back to counseling,
yeah,
and that helped me out in a major way. I hadn't been to counseling since my mom passed away, which was back in, it's been what, 10 years now. So going back to counseling and just focusing on getting back to me. A lot of times I'm the type of person that will pour so much into other people and other people's visions
yeah.
that I'm often left broken and empty.
Yeah.
And so this year I was able to make sure that my cup was always full. And that's the most amazing feeling ever.
So we were talking about when we took a break, and I got something in the back of my throat. I don't know what it is.
Well,
so excuse me, first of all. So we were talking about during the break, we were talking about how difficult it has been this year. Not even really difficult, mm-hmm. but how crazy it is. Because you was like, imagine all the people who are in our business and our personal business wondering
if we're together, what we're
doing,
the
podcast picking up. How are y'all doing all of this shit and still being able to maintain whatever it is mm-hmm. that you guys have? And it's so funny because you were like, I can only imagine.
What celebrities go through
and other people, like agents saying what you should say or not mm-hmm. say, like the whole Kevin Hart thing. Like, how do you handle that shit? Because I know for me, when I say something on the podcast, whether it's present tense, past tense, future tense, mm-hmm. when it comes to another woman, you have people that come to you and say,
yeah, and half the shit that's brought back to me is shit that I normally don't even care about. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to feel like you're always in a place of, and that's one thing I've gotten away from too this year, is feeling like I have to explain myself.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times people come to me and they're like, girl, I can't believe you let him say this. And I'm like, let him, like, he's his own person.
Yeah.
And being on a podcast or being in radio or any type of media for that matter, you have to be yourself. You have to be who you are.
Yeah. Think about Charlamagne Tha God. We was talking the other day and I was like, not Charlamagne Tha God. I don't know that nigga. But because, you know, people be like, that nigga talked to Charlamagne. But thinking about Charlamagne the guy, who is he always bigging up this year? Cardi B. Every mm-hmm. word that comes out of his mouth, he talking about Cardi B. Mm-hmm. In regular people's lifestyle, they would be like, why are you always talking about this bitch? Why you always
wanting to? They must got something going on.
Exactly. You don't think people are emailing or saying those kind of things to Charlamagne's wife? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Charlamagne say some risque shit. Mm-hmm. But the line of work he in, it takes a special woman mm-hmm. to understand that. I've talked to a shitload of women who tried to shoot their shot when it come to me. And I'm like, even if you made it through the door, you wouldn't be able to last.
You don't know what you're getting yourself into.
You don't even know
into,
what the fuck
honey.
You're getting yourself into. Right. And I tell people all the time, I think I'm a cool person. I think mm-hmm. I'm a good person. I think I'm a down to earth person. But I am high maintenance.
Very.
I'm high maintenance.
Very high maintenance.
You can't tell me what to fucking do. You can't make me do nothing I don't want to do. Mm-hmm. Your pussy's not going to get you more or less. Mm-hmm. I've had my fair share of pussy, so pussy is pussy to me. Mm-hmm. So all these women who feel like, oh, I can train them, I can do... You can't, bitch. You can't. You fucking can't. So for all y'all who keep telling Artesia how to
and
do this...
And stop telling me.
And what to
do
really this...
I don't really want to hear it anymore.
First of all, the cliche old age thing. Get you a man first, bitch.
Yeah, oh my God, please.
How you fucking telling her about what kind of man... I mean, how to and treat her man and do for and check her man when you don't have a man. And another thing.
Make sure you're living a life that matches mine.
Yeah.
At least, not saying that I'm better than anybody.
No, I get what you, because my whole thing I was about to say is, if you are below a 6 aesthetics, you wouldn't be able to get with me anyway. And I'm not saying that I'm the best looking thing. You know what I'm saying? But some of these girls that you've told me and that I've seen speak these things to you, if my dick was 12 inches, I wouldn't brush them hoes.
Jesus.
So what does that mean? Shut the fuck up and stay in your goddamn lane.
Yeah.
Stay the fuck out of our business. Mm-hmm. Nobody, it doesn't matter. That's how shit starts to get fucked up. Mm-hmm. Even if you are married or have a relationship, you don't have to take all the advice somebody gives you. Take whatever you feel works for you and falls into your spirit, and then you get rid of the rest of that shit. Because everything that works for somebody else is not going to actually work for you.
And it's so funny because there have been times where you've told me that certain people have been like, oh, y'all are goals or whatever the case
is. I don't understand
and
that
so
shit.
Because,
what are goals?
But that's refreshing for somebody like me to hear, because you got to think about someone that takes so much flack for being as quiet or reserved or laid back about certain things as I am. I just genuinely don't care. The same thing goes with a lot of the feminist movement things. Like, some of the stuff that people get worked up about, guys saying or doing, is like...
Don't. As long as you... Like, with that feminist bullshit...
As long as there's no disrespect...
And you ain't touching and grabbing on me...
I'm cool.
But it's a video that's surfaced, and it's been kind of circulating around about this white lady. Mm-hmm. And she's addressing these Me Too, the hashtag Me Too and sexual assault situations. Mm-hmm. And she was like, some of y'all are complaining, but when you in a hotel room after a party mm-hmm. or at midnight or 1 o'clock or midday, like, you know what the fuck that nigga asked you to come for. Mm-hmm. So why? And that's the thing.
That's what I understand.
So many people are yelling rape and sexual assault. And it's like, some of these cases are 10, 20 years ago. And it's like, how you know?
If you
come out right now and fucking say, Anthony raped me, I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm done.
Or you have women on social media that be like, oh, I don't understand why guys are just always looking at me like a thing. Well, that's because your whole
feed
is
like a thing.
Thirst trapping.
When women do what the fuck you want to do with your body. Mm-hmm. But if 10 years ago, I could look at you and be like, she got a nice ass through them jeans. Mm-hmm. Like, you visualize.
Yeah.
There's no need for visualization anymore. Mm-hmm. Y'all giving it to us. Mm-hmm. When a nigga is looking at you like a thing on social media and only making nasty comments, if I see your nipple, mm-hmm. you ain't wearing no bra, mm-hmm. it's all about your ass, it's all about seductive faces, what are you selling? Mm-hmm. What are you selling, bitch?
Now, granted,
what are you selling, nigga?
Granted, sometimes it doesn't even have to be that, because I know I'm very PG on my social media,
but I still
get niggas that slide in
but
my DMs.
But how many times have I told
about
you?
My lips,
but how many times have I told you, when guys see women, we know what we want immediately.
Yeah.
So that's what a guy sees. Mm-hmm. We are built off the perception and aesthetics of a woman. Mm-hmm. Gay guys are the same fucking way.
Yeah.
They out here wearing padded underwear and tight ass pants to show off whatever they got. Now, this is not something that I do, but I do have gay friends who have told me how the dating world goes. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, not to be funny, did we talk about our Christmas party?
Not in detail.
Well, we had a great party.
Well, first of all, let's just say, and it was an influx because it was co-hosted.
It was co-hosted with the homie.
This is something that my best friend, he does every year.
We do too.
Yeah, we do. But we decided to split it this year. Combine it.
Lord, I tell you one thing about the gays. I love them because they help me. The listenership and the following of gays is so strong.
And the guy that came up to me, I had to bring him over to you because he was just so.
Oh, I forgot about that.
He was so enthused about you because the podcast you tried to do.
Yeah, we did a live podcast. Yeah, that's so crazy. You guys will never even know what's going on. So we interviewed a couple of people. It was some guys from DC, some guys from Milwaukee,
and Milwaukee.
It was some guys
and here,
from,
locally.
And locally. So we picked the spot, we posted up. This conversation was about homosexuality, so it was literally like 15 gay dudes in the room,
exactly.
And I think it was about 4 mics around, and I had different gay dudes from different perspectives and different lives, and they were talking about knowing when they were gay, how everything came about, and how they're moving now. And it was one fucking knucklehead who just kept cutting everybody off.
Yeah.
Now, you're gay, that's cool with me, but I'm gonna fight you like a man, and I'm gonna treat you like a man. One thing I do want to say too,
involved, let's just say
all these gays out here that are men, unless you get rid of your dick, you're still a man. I don't care if you're a top, I don't care if you're a bottom, I don't care if you suck half the dick or the whole dick. You are a man, and I'm going to treat you as such. So one nigga was getting out of line. He wanted to be Brody. I almost folded his ass up like a lawn chair.
Oh, my God.
But people had to keep me cool. So basically, during this, the reason it got out of hand is because this guy was over-talking other gay men, and he was trying to tell other gay men stories for them. They had different ideas about why they felt the way they do about religion.
He's like, no, that's not right.
So on and so forth. So he kept cutting people off. So after a minute, I was like, fuck this shit. Nigga, shut the fuck up. Let everybody fucking talk. Let them do what they do and tell their own story or journeyman story about being gay and how they drew the conclusion that they are gay and they accepted it.
Because everyone's experience is different.
And every motherfucker out here who's saying you should be living in a closet, people are still getting fucking killed and stoned in different countries and it's not accepted in about 70 countries.
Parents are disowning their kids. Disowning their kids,
taking their inheritance. Yeah. There are hate crimes here in Dallas over off Oakland. Every holiday, they have to have an influx of police officers because gays are being fucking killed and murdered by other bitch ass men or bitch ass men who are gay who have not come out of the closet. So they hate them fucking selves and they're taking action on other people.
Yeah.
So this shit, being gay and coming out and being who the fuck you are, is still not easy in 2017. Being black, motherfuckers, is still not easy in 2017. So all of this shit that is used like social media and TV, showing this shit on TV, just because it's showing on TV doesn't mean it's acceptable. They're trying to ease the acceptance into your household so these people can have a better life. But we only see the shit as entertainment.
Yeah.
It's terrible. So we had the gay party last week.
It wasn't gay party. Oh my God. It was a holiday party.
Yeah, it was a holiday party.
Co-hosted by yourself.
I swear to God, I didn't mean to say that, but I just had a lot of gay on my tongue. Yeah. So it was a lot of gays that came out. We actually invited about the same amount of people. That's what I love about gays.
Everyone is comfortable.
But the gays, no, it wasn't even about that because they didn't even, I don't know if they even knew, but the gays came out and then some of my people came out. Shout out to the gays that came out to make the party the life of the party.
Shout out to the solid, strong, heterosexual community
men
that came
who
out.
Who could deal with it, yeah. Because some of my homeboys in there, that they are strictly, you know, pussy. But they know how to move in a respectful manner in a room of people who are the same and different in certain ways. But
even
I had a good time.
Y'all did kind of segregate y'allself.
Well, we wanted to go play pool.
Okay.
So we went to the pool hall. And then, I mean, not to be funny, no matter how straight you are, it's only so much googly eyes you could take from a gay guy.
No, I know, because there were quite a few new faces in the building, and I even had some questions asked to me about, and I was like, no, just leave that alone.
Because they were just watching.
For the
they
most
was watching.
Part, I really like the fact that my group of friends are very respectful, so if I tell them or let them know, like, no, that's not what that is, they're going to stop.
Yeah. So, I mean, because I had a couple of googly eyes, and I was like, I got to get out of here. Because not to be funny, you don't know if they're looking at your ass, trying to find a dick print. They looking at you like women look at you.
Yeah.
So I needed to get out of the room.
Yeah.
That just kind of feels, at that point in time, I want my dick to be as small as possible. Shrivel up in the skin. I don't want no print showing nowhere. I don't want to be.
They still find it, honey.
No, they won't find that bitch. I ain't tucking it. They'll be looking at it in the back.
Because so. I had one of the new guys that I met. Oh, my God. I love them, too. They just moved here from Chicago.
Oh, yeah. You got to tell the story about the guy that you brought to me, too. Oh, tell the that, guy. Tell okay, that story
so
first.
The,
that's fine.
The guys that just moved here from Chicago, they were so funny because I think I was looking for you at one point throughout the night. And they was like, oh, and it's so weird. I don't know how this word got out. But they was like, where's your husband? And I said, who? Because, you know. I don't want to get married again. But they were like, oh,
I'm glad
and I said,
you said that.
Huh?
I'm glad you said that.
I've people always act said
like
that. I'm just,
yeah, but they act like I got a gun in your back or to your head making you do nothing.
Yeah, fuck them. I think we already established that earlier.
Go ahead.
But anyways, so they were like, oh, that's him? Because they just moved here. Mm-hmm. So they had heard that we were together. But they were like, oh, honey, I don't see how you do it.
Yeah.
So I love that.
Yeah, it's good to be there. It's you know, like I said, I had a good time. So you
so
came
I brought
to me.
The guys to you,
okay?
Because he stopped me.
First of all, I was working trying to clean up. You know what I'm saying? I was doing you know what a man does, taking care of everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? That's probably why the gay dudes is checking me out. It's probably like, look at this black Adonis. That's what I'm naming my son if I ever have a son, Adonis.
Okay, thank you for putting that out there, though.
What that supposed to mean?
Anyways,
go ahead.
So anyways, the guy stopped me as I was coming out the restroom. He was like, hey, I just want to say that I wanted to let you know that I really respect and appreciate your husband.
Jesus Christ, that sounds so important and serious.
It
Man,
was.
That make you want to get a badge.
It was. It
the
was.
Husband. Like the police holding and they show they on the police badge be on their hip.
Yes.
And when they come in, they move their jacket
move
back
the jacket.
And show it. Yeah, they be like, your husband, here go the badge.
But instantly, because I was a little tipsy, but when he said that.
I think we all were.
Yeah, I was, oh, Lord. But when he said that, I kind of, you know, sobered up a little bit because yeah. I was like, okay. This
husband,
is
that's serious shit.
I was like, this is going to be an important conversation. I was like, this is going to be an important conversation. So I was like, oh, you mean my boyfriend? Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, y'all been together for a long time, right? He was like, I just assumed. I'm sorry. But he was saying how much he really appreciated the fact that you being a heterosexual guy wasn't afraid to step in and speak up for them.
Mm-hmm.
And that meant the world to him. And a lot of times that means the world to a lot of guys in the gay community.
Yeah, and you came to me and you was like, hey, I'm trying to clean up. And you like, hey, and I'm like, what the fuck do you
want?
I'm trying to straighten up. And you was like, hey, this guy in here, he's talking about you and he's talking about the podcast. And I'm like, it ain't number K guys
but
in there. Who
a lot
fuck
of times I did that because quite often I'll come back and tell you what somebody said and you like, huh, yeah, I know. Like, you know, like real lackadaisical about it. So I wanted
you mean
to
mean positive things.
Yeah, I'll tell you positive things, but you're so like, you don't really, you've gotten better, but you don't really appreciate those little moments.
I don't live in
moments.
The moment as much.
Exactly.
Yes.
So I wanted you to witness it firsthand. Mm-hmm. That's why I brought him to you.
Okay. Now, it was definitely flattering because when he came to me, he was like, I just wanted to tell you how appreciative I am. He was like, I was just new here coming in from Milwaukee. And he was like, mm-hmm. where I'm from. And he was just like, basically in the black community, like, we don't respect gays the way we as people sometimes. Mm-hmm. So he was like, I it was just amazing to see you take up for another guy whose voice was being drowned out by mm-hmm. a heavier personality. Yeah. So I was like, nah, that's all good. You know what I'm saying? I slap gay dudes and straight dudes the same.
Oh God.
Nah, I'm just like, but all right, man, we about to wrap this thing up. New things for 2018, man. As we already told you, Roberts Media Group is going to be in full effect next year.
Mm-hmm.
We got the Gray Area podcast that's under Roberts Media Group. Shout out to Jason and Richard Gray, man, for coming under us, man. These guys have a lot going on. They could have been like, nah, we straight. We moving in a different lane and we bigger than y'all. So we ain't going to even do that, but they didn't. So we appreciate that. Tenderoni podcast and Thrive 365. We talked about Jakeem Gregory. He's going to be the host of both of those podcasts. The Mind Over Matter podcast out of DC. Matter of fact, let me go back. The Gray Area podcast out of Chicago and New York. Tenderoni podcast and Thrive 365 podcast by the homie Jakeem Gregory is out of Miami.
Mm-hmm.
Mind Over Matter podcast with the homie King Nas, that's out of DC. Sports Life Talk podcast that's out of Carrollton, Texas, here in the Dallas area. And the reality is, we'll also be back, but I told you this, and mm-hmm. it still may be real,
mm-hmm.
but 2018 may be the last year for the Reality Is podcast. Mm-hmm. Why? Because I'm moving on to big, I'm transitioning to different things. A lot of things are starting to happen. I have a lot of things that I'm working on that I really want to touch into. Now, I still will be doing podcasting. Maybe I'll be guest hosting on other episodes, getting some other episodes here
and
in Dallas.
You have some other concepts in mind.
Yeah, I do have other concepts for other podcasts. So I may be done with the Reality Is Where Filtering Becomes Extinct. It's been a good run.
I feel like we're retiring from music.
Yeah, but we're going to open something else up. You know what I'm saying? It's just like having a successful business and then moving into another one. Because now this is out in the stratosphere. It's not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. This will forever be on the Reality Is podcast, you know, mm-hmm. Apple Podcast. So I'm trying to decide, do I stop at 200 or do I just throw a big ass party and end it next year around this time?
We'll talk about it later. We'll figure that out.
You know what I'm saying? But I might not be ready
to let it go.
I don't know what you must gonna take over and be like,
the
this is the Reality Is where filter becomes extinct with your host Artesia.
That shit will plummet.
Jesus Christ, no, give yourself because, a little bit more credit.
No, but it's also about recognizing your lane. Yeah. Like that's what I'm saying.
I've had a lot of people try to step into my lane.
Yeah.
But I'm
so
not.
So that's props actually to you.
Yeah, I just don't say that. We'll have two other possible podcasts coming too in March 2018. So look forward to that. Be on the lookout for that. We also going to be working out of a new studio. I was going to say studio space in the new year. So shout out to the guys that we're working with on getting this thing set up. Shout out to the homie poster boy Franklin, man. Poster boy Franklin Dale Williams.
Mm-hmm. Shot by poster boy.
Yeah, shout
out. I think that's the rebrand.
Okay. Well, the thing about it is, this guy, he is the person who does all the digital audio visualizers you see on the podcast, the logo. I'm planning on maybe reframing or rebranding the logo. Me and the homie Jason Gray out of Chicago are talking about creating a podcast where me and him are going to be doing one together. So like I said, it's just a lot of shit. We got our hand in a lot of fires over here trying to put out things and, you know, start things and ignite things. So we got a lot of work coming, man. What are some of the things that you're expecting in 2018? Because I know neither one of us do New Year's resolutions.
No, we don't. I think the main thing for me is to keep expanding on everything that I did this year as far as the work on myself and continuing to be a better version of me.
Well, I think you'll be able to do that. I mean, for me, I'm trying to think. For me, I honestly, like, I want some entourage shit. I literally want to keep the little group that I have, and I want to explode. You know how, if you're watching Revolt TV, like, they'll have a Throwback Thursday to Jay-Z before he became Jay-Z. Mm-hmm. Kanye West when he was freestyling and at the house with homeboys, and now you can look back. Like, I've been telling Jason and Naj and Jakeem all of this. I'm like, bro, let's make this shit a fucking powerhouse. Mm-hmm. Let's look back in 5 to 10 years and let's be the next Sean Puffy Combs. Let's be Diddy and him, and you know, and Jay-Z and
that video they just put out.
That shit was sexy as fuck. Yes, it was. Because it looked like success. Yeah. It was two black motherfucking moguls coming together for a big. There's lanes for people.
Exactly.
If you find your motherfucking lane and you stay in that lane.
And I think we established this year you found your lane.
I found my lane.
Yeah.
Everybody said, hey, man, this is your niche. So I'm like, let me ride it. Let me ride that wave. Let me figure out what's going to be what. I feel like I got some real good people around me. Mm-hmm. I feel like we have a lot of skill and a lot of opportunity to do a lot of big things. Mm-hmm. Now it's just strictly about executing them. Mm-hmm. And I watched a little video with Steve Harvey the other day. And some of y'all, I know I jumped off the cliff in 2017.
Yeah,
I hit a lot of rocks before I started flying, and I ain't just flying yet. But you know, if you dive off with the parachute suit, and you know if you have a rocky start, now you're dying in real life. Okay. But if we talk in cartoons and movies, you dive off like Steve Harvey said. You may cut up, you know, get bruised up or whatever before you finally take flight. I feel like this year was the bumps and bruises. Last year was the bumps and bruises. Mm-hmm. I feel like now I've kicked off the rocks off the side of the mountain and I'm trying to go up, but now it's time to get up there and then get a steady sail.
Exactly.
And just float there. So that's what we're hoping for 2018, man. So I appreciate you. Appreciate everything you've done. Mm-hmm. We've had a lot of ups and downs this year, but we've still manifested to keep everything going good. Mm-hmm. Any shout outs you want to give? Because some people didn't help you get where you at. You got to shout out Franklin. He did a lot of your shit. You got to find. We got to shout out Jay Soderbergh and Amy. Domestico. Domestico.
Yeah.
Shout out to them. They're the people at Blog Talk Radio who keep us going, who got us on Spreaker and everything else. What?
And I would say shout out to my mentor, Neil, from I Live in Dallas.
Yes.
But it was kind of crazy because this year it almost turned tables. Like, he's been my mentor for the past, what, 3-4 years?
And now you mentor.
And now it's like he's coming to me for certain things.
Ain't it crazy when people come in?
Not coming to me for certain things, but just leaning more on me for certain things.
So, because I feel like the years that y'all have had, you've been dependable. So now it's like, well, you know?
Yeah.
That's life, though. Yeah. So be sure to keep up with all things The Reality Is by going to www.therealityis.com. That's THA The Reality Is. Also follow us at The Reality Is on Twitter, Instagram, Anchor, and Facebook. You can listen to previous podcasts on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, SoundCloud, Player.fm, Spreaker, SPREAKER. Listen notes and more. If you would like to be a guest on the show or would like to like us to answer one of your questions from our perspective on the show, be sure to email us at info@therealityis.com or call and leave a message at 469-351-9681. And we'll be sure to answer that question on upcoming calls. Upcoming episodes. What was you about to say?
I was going to say, oh, and shout out to Britt Marshman from...
Who's Britt Marshman?
I was about to say. But she's from the Bad and Bougie Moms podcast.
That reached out to me this week
to be featured on an episode, which was kind of weird.
And they're out of Atlanta, Georgia, right?
Yeah, she's out of Atlanta. Okay. And it was, like, so humbling. And I was like, oh, I guess my airtime here.
I think everybody, likes your voice too. That's one of the biggest things. When most people hear, they be like, "Oh, her voice. Can we get her to do an intro? Can we get her to do a
drop?" I've actually gotten a couple of opportunities this year.
Nothing will be free in 2018, motherfuckers. I don't give a girl if it's
catch me before December 31st to solidify. I think I've already said yes to the people that I'm gonna rock with for free.
Well, I'm gonna tell you, if I haven't already said yes to you.
Then be prepared to come to the table with
And if you don't have money, she has a vagina, I have a dick, you can lick and suck your way to the top.
Jesus.
Sexual harassment in 2020.
Wait a minute.
No, fuck. You gonna pay, motherfucker. You gonna pay, motherfucker. You paying. All this free shit.
Oh my God. No more.
Because the funny thing, too, is all the free advice we was giving to these motherfuckers, a lot of people tried to create a competition out of it. Mm-hmm. And if they didn't try to create a competition out of it, they tried to do the same exact thing. It's okay to have people that you admire and you want to do their own. But put a spin on that shit.
Exactly.
Put a motherfucking spin on it. All y'all niggas and girls, Denzel said in Training Day, all you niggas and bitches. I'm putting cases on all you bitches. I'm putting all you motherfuckers on notice, man. If you got a podcast, please have a picture on your Instagram page of what you look like. If you're talking about dating, people especially want to see what you're looking like. If you're talking about getting your dick sucked, people want to see what you look like. If you're talking
about these motherfuckers around here,
it's bad business.
Woo.
If you are talking about anything, if you are a woman or a man who's talking down about women or men, show your face.
Please.
Don't just sit up and talk bad about men and women. Because one thing that it helps is if I'm a guy and I'm talking about sex and how much I get. People want to see.
They be like, oh, okay, I can see that.
Yeah. No, I'm not see that. I'm not saying that. See, you giving me, you're going to have people thinking I'm whatever. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying overall, I ain't even talking about me per se. I'm just saying in general. But what I'm saying is people want to see, okay, he's saying he's knocking down all these people. People want to look and be like, oh, I can see that. Mm-hmm. Or I can see that and I can see the type of women he's sleeping with. Or they could be like, eh, this nigga lying. Mm-hmm. Or he ain't getting, like, people need to show your face. Mm-hmm. Don't be the person speaking on the podcast, but nobody ever sees your face.
Yeah.
Show your face, goddammit. Period. Also, man, last but not least, be sure to leave us a rating or review on whatever platform you listen to the Reality Is podcast on. As always, we don't give a shit if it's a good review. We don't give a flying fuck if it's a bad review. We just want to hear from you. Shout out to the people who have left us likes and comments and ratings and reviews this year. We got a couple of them this year, so we do appreciate you for that. We'll be back in 2018 again. Arteezy, I appreciate you for sitting in on a day before Christmas Eve to do this podcast. I appreciate it. Everything that you've done for the podcast, for me, I do appreciate it. I really do. You've given me money when I didn't have money. You've given me food when I didn't have food. You've helped me out when situations came, you know, about in my life this year where I couldn't make something or I couldn't do something because, you know, I invested in a business and, you know,
people left. And before then, you held me down.
Yeah, and people left me high and dry. So I think it's important to be able to have a balancing relationship and friendship and whatever situations you're in.
As far as providing me with the luxuries of life.
I have given you some good shit.
Yeah, you have.
I didn't even notice. But sometimes,
that's why I always tell you, like, I don't think twice about doing certain shit for you because when we first started dating, like, I never had to come out of pocket for anything.
Yeah.
And you bought me some amazing gifts, some stuff that I wouldn't even buy for myself because I'm frugal like that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so as much as you appreciate me, I appreciate you.
And I want to say shout out to the homie Frank. He hit me up the other day, Poster Boy Frank. We have two Franks. We have Frank Minicon, Frank Williams. But Frank Williams hit me up, and he made me feel real good. weekend, and he just hit me up, and some things happened, and I'm not going to talk about personal things, mm-hmm. but he hit me up, and he said, hey, man, Anthony, me and my wife want to just say we love you. Mm-hmm. We appreciate you. You've done some amazing things for us this year that you didn't have to do, and I talked about on Facebook the other day. I was like, I feel like I've been blessed more, even though I rant and rave about a lot of shit. Mm-hmm. I feel like since I stopped paying tithe strictly to church mm-hmm. and start giving to people and helping other people out on a weekly and monthly mm-hmm. basis, that I've been blessed more so. And sometimes we look for financial blessings, and I'm starting to learn this, but sometimes, and we watch, watching SWAT last night, and it's like sometimes the blessing comes from other places. But like Deacon said on SWAT, he said, what did he say? He said something to the effect of, you know, sometimes we don't get our, but I'm paraphrasing, sometimes we don't get our blessings financially, but mm-hmm. sometimes we get them through grace. You know what I'm exactly. saying? Sometimes grace, we need extensions yeah. or help or things like that.
Grace is a motherfucker.
Yeah, because I know it's been times I pay bills and I've given all, like I pay all my bills, I pay all this shit, pay all my credit card debt, and it's like I come back and I'm like, how the fuck am I gonna make it to next week with $100?
Mm-hmm. But you make it.
But I make it. Mm-hmm. Whether it be somebody giving something to me or going over somebody's house and they done made me a plate mm-hmm. or whatever the case may be, and people are just always helping out, and people are willing to give to people who are always giving. Mm-hmm. To somebody else, whether it be me giving stories through the podcast and all of that. Mm-hmm. So before we go, I wanted to talk about this.
This is the longest outro ever, let me just say.
It is, but we're filling in space, and it's the last one of the year, so I don't think people are going to complain, and everybody likes to hear stories about other people's lives. So my brother, everybody knows, you know, me and my brother was into it. We still haven't talked since April. I'll just say, brother, if you're listening, hopefully you get your shit together. Mm-hmm. You know, your mom needs you. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important that you drop your ego. I've already said for I don't give mom, a f- yeah, for your mom. I don't give a fuck if me and him never talk again, but you do have a mother and you need to reach out to her. But I know I could be a hard ass. Me and my brother may not ever speak again, and I'm honestly fine with that. But in DC in June when we went for your birthday, I was sitting on the couch and I forgot what I was watching. And it's like between Bell's palsy bouncing back and paying all these bills and structure of the job.
And not really being able, because even in D.C., we went to D.C. for my birthday.
Yeah.
But we weren't really able to move around.
Because like, I got sick again.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, so that's why I said with the Bell's palsy shit just happened. So it was just an overwhelming effect of emotions and everything that was happening. And I remember I started crying. I was sitting on the couch at the Airbnb and I was watching the game. Mm-hmm. And you were just laying in the bed and I was watching TV. And I just cried. I don't do that, but it's like tears was running down my face, and you were like, what the fuck? You was like, you don't never cry. What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
And I just told you, I was like, a lot of shit is building up on me. A lot of things have been happening in my life. And I told you, I said, the shit with me and my brother really affected me.
Yeah.
You know, to have a brother who you feel like gets mad over something or turns his back on you or maybe envious or jealous of you for whatever the case may be. Because if you're being honest, and if my brother's listening to this, like, I didn't do none of that nigga that day.
Yeah. I think it was just more so about the extent that he went to make sure. That he tried to hurt you in some way.
And, but this is the thing about
people
it. Touché.
Family argues, you know, but it's supposed to be a point where you reconnect.
But this is the thing that I'll say, and this is why I'm able to speak so harshly and stand in my place, because a lot of people hear me talking about my brother and they be like, damn, bro, you cut that nigga off. That's cold shit. Nah, my brother hurt me and my mom enough to where I cried when I normally don't. Mm-hmm. But when I do that, that means I'm past you. Mm-hmm. So I'm past him. Mm-hmm. And people always think that, because I've told you, I'd be like, if my grandmother died, my grandfather died, my father died, and my brother died in my life right now, four important people, I wouldn't go to the funeral and I wouldn't give a shit. When you have not been there for me, when you have not supported me, when you tried to ruin me, when I can't turn to you for something, what do I need you for? You need people who do for you and who can, when you're hurt and when you're down, they can be there. When you argue, it's okay to disagree, agree to disagree, mm-hmm. but how important is it to get past that? Mm-hmm. And he didn't get past that. And I think he lost a lot this year.
He did.
Whether he realizes it or not, you know. But all the families who may be beefing this year, man, get your shit together. Be humble. You know what I'm saying? Subdue your egos. Make amends. Because if somebody died tomorrow, that's the question I ask myself. Everybody that I'm not talking to, if they died tomorrow, would I be okay with it? Mm-hmm. And at this point in my life, I am truly okay with that. Because the people who truly care for me, or I talk to them on a daily, weekly, and monthly basis. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Relationships and friendships are two-way streets. Mm-hmm. If you got somebody, because I know you deal with this a lot, they'll hit you up and be like, I ain't heard from you in a month. And it's like, well, bitch, I ain't heard from you either.
And this year I've been calling motherfuckers on their shit.
Yeah. And it's like, yeah. I ain't heard from you either, bitch. Yeah. So just like you was waiting on me to call, you could have called that same way.
Call when they need something. Exactly. Or something.
But it works both ways. So anything else before we say this last line and get the fuck up out of here for 2017?
No. I mean, even though I understand everything you just said, I'm still hoping for, and so much time has passed, I'm still hoping for some kind of reconciliation. Because just to hear the way that you talk about it, and I know when you say certain stuff, I know you're serious.
Yeah.
But it's heartbreaking to hear.
But
that.
And
I would hate
to. I just want him and my mom to be.
Yeah,
good.
My whole thing my is I would hate for it mama. To be something tragic to have to get him to be like.
Well, we're not gonna be together again, period. But I would hate for something tragic to happen to see him in a room for him to say I'm sorry because that's gonna be the hardest thing.
And that's
for,
what
if
I'm
something
saying.
Happens,
like, get it right before.
Yeah,
it's,
because if he
it
comes,
comes
to me
to
at
that
time and say I'm sorry, I'm gonna be like, bro, fuck off.
Yeah.
Like at that point, it's like I don't make amends just because shit happened. 2 years ago, I had a friend die from cancer, and it was niggas I wasn't really fucking with because of they lameness, and I'm not gonna tell their business. But when they approached me in that point in time, I was like, you coming to me at a funeral now?
But you still gave it. You were still open-minded.
And I reached.
They didn't
follow through. So I can't fuck with people who don't follow through.
Yeah.
Shout out to the people who get married for better financial situations. shout out to the niggas who still brave enough to go raw dog and challenge, take on the opportunity or the chance of being pregnant or getting somebody pregnant or having an STD. Shout out to the motherfuckers who drive in the rain with no lights.
Thank God for the IUDs that keep us.
I've been busting through IUDs for quite some time.
Yeah.
All right. With that being said, always remember to inhale courage to excel success. You can find me at Sir Robert Paul on Instagram, Anthony Roberts on Facebook. Again, The Reality Is on podcast. You don't like people to find you on social media?
No, they can find me on social. I mean, I have several places that are for the public. So you can find me on Twitter. You can find me
at NoArtz.
Everywhere at NoArtz. If I don't accept you, it's not personal. That just means that platform is meant for strictly people that I know.
Yeah, makes sense. All right, man. With that being said, man, happy holidays. Hopefully everybody has a Merry Christmas. If the macaroni, six cheese macaroni didn't go in the stove, throw it away.
Didn't go in the oven. Yes.
Yeah.
Because you know a lot of folks doing it on the stove.
Yeah.
That's not legit.
Nah. Throw that shit away. Black man, if you have a white wife and this is your first year doing holidays, take it to your mama's house first. Don't let her cook. Take it to your mama's house first. Let her learn a little bit about what you like to eat. And then, you know, let her have it next year. Don't put her in that spotlight, man. Black people can be very judgmental.
Yes.
All right, man. Always remember, inhale courage to excel success. You guys be blessed. We'll see you in 2018.
You'll shoot your eye out, kid. Merry Christmas.
Wait, jingle bells all the way. Hey, on your heels, y'all make that shake.
Shake.
Got about three hoes on my sleigh. I'm trying to tee up Christmas Day. Won't you want some jingle bells all the way? Hey, got them bells all on a shake.
Shake.
Got about three hoes all the way.